Our first reading this morning is from Genesis 18, 1 to 8. This is the biblical story out of Genesis that was told during the theme conversation. It is important to note that our ancient ancestors in the faith, Abraham being the most ancient, were a desert people, moving around hunting and gathering. In this time, an ethic grew based on the recognition that in the desert, life is fragile, and you never know when you might be the vulnerable one. So sometimes you needed people to help you out. This is where the ethic of welcoming the stranger came from. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring you a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Our second reading from the New Testament is Matthew 2, 13 to 15. In the past week, much buzz has emerged about refugees and safety. Who are these people we're welcoming? In the Christian tradition, we remember the story of Jesus' beginning. Born under Herod, King Herod, a brutal dictator who, when threatened, went on a rampage, going after all children under the age of 2. Jesus' parents ran for their lives, became refugees in Egypt, until the threat was over and they could return home. When the wise men had left, Joseph had a dream. In the dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you to come back. Herod is going to search for the child. He wants to kill him." So Joseph got up. During the night, he left for Egypt with the child and his mother Mary. They stayed there until King Herod died. So the words of the Lord had spoken through the prophet came true. He had said, "I brought my son out of Egypt." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
God is our refuge and our strength. This is a hymn that is based on that passage. In you there is a refuge. Hymn number 84 from Our Voices.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm delighted to be with you this morning. And I thank you for the invitation. If I were a First Nations person, I would begin by telling you my ancestry and my family connection. I'm not a First Nations person, but I speak to you as a migrant to Canada, but also as a descendant of refugees to Canada back in 1795. So let us begin. It's the middle of the night. A young family slips away from their home and flees their country. They make it to a nearby country where they live among strangers. Likely their life was lonely and difficult. They didn't speak the language. They were of a different faith from the locals, had different customs and different dress. Why did they run? Well, because of an edict put out by their king to find their son, and, as far as they knew, to kill him. Of course, we recognize this story as that of our scripture, the story of Mary and Joseph taking Jesus to safety. Under today's classification, this family would qualify as refugees. They are under threat because of their ethnicity and because of Jesus' age and sex and his membership in a particular social group, Hebrew boys 2 years and under. They do not have criminal records and have not participated in insurgency or rebellion. In fact, Mary and Joseph had gone to Bethlehem to be registered for the census. They were obeying the law. So Joseph, Mary, and little Jesus traveled to Egypt in fear, just as refugees travel in fear these days. They stay in a strange land where it is likely that life was very hard. They were there for about 5 years, until Herod died. Hearing of this, they were still afraid to go back to their old home. After all, Herod's son, Archelaus, was on the throne. Too much uncertainty. Move forward in time. This story is repeated again and again. People who have done nothing wrong lose the life they know and love in order to survive. They leave their home or face death or persecution. Oh, why do they find themselves in this situation, having to live in a strange land, having to leave behind neighbors, friends, home, often family members, leaving very likely the only place they have ever known, leaving behind their wealth, their way of life, their culture? Why again? Well, because of their ethnic origin, or their social group, or their sexual orientation, or their sex, or their race, or their color, or their faith. Things they can't change. Things that are core to their being. But I've heard people ask, well, can't they change their faith? That may sound easy, but every refugee that I have ever met, and this is 25 years worth in the hundreds, would answer, no, not really. Not without changing the fundamentals of who I am and what I stand for. So let's go on to our other scripture passage from Genesis. The heat of the day, hot, dry, dusty plain of Mamre. An elderly man is sitting in the shade. He sees three men. Now remember, he's a very old man, yet he gets up and rushes to greet them. He bows down. He addresses them as my lord. He begs them to accept his hospitality. In the Middle East, as we've heard, where water is scarce and traveling is hard, offering hospitality to strangers has always been a sacred duty of all faiths and all cultures. What does this involve? Well, he begins with the offer of foot washing. Long walks in sandals on those hard, dusty roads meant that feet had to be cared for. But feet were considered by Jews to be a very low part of the body, so washing someone's feet was a sign of great respect, of great hospitality. We saw this in Jesus, of course, when he washed the feet of his followers. Abraham offers the men a seat in the shade. He hurries off to arrange the very best food for them And while they eat, he stands by, concerned for their comfort, ready to fetch anything they might need. Pretty fine hospitality, but Abraham does understand that he is fulfilling a sacred duty. Every day, we hear of a new atrocity taking place in the Middle East. People are slaughtered in huge numbers. Historic sites are demolished, and treasures of antiquities stolen and sold to fund these evil deeds. A faith is perverted to justify a program of death and destruction. At the moment, the UN reckons there are about 60 million refugees in the world. The largest group at present are the Syrians. Almost 5 million of them have fled their country. 2 million Syrians are in Turkey. 1.4 million are in Lebanon. 623,000 are in Jordan. 235,000 are in Iraq, and 137,000 in Egypt. Apart from Egypt, where most refugees are with host families, Syrian people are often in camps. Turkey has 25 refugee camps. In Jordan, the Zaatari refugee camp is the fourth largest city in the country. In Lebanon, 26% of the population are Syrian refugees. If they're not in camps, they live in danger of deportation and harassment by the police. Lebanon has also recently instituted a residency fee of $200 US for every person 18 or older. This is a difficult burden for refugees. I've been told that often one family member will get the residency permit and the others will remain virtually imprisoned indoors for fear of being arrested and deported. Just the other day, I was told that the Syrians in Lebanon are hated by the Lebanese and live in fear of their lives. Yet let's take a moment to look at this situation. The countries around Syria that are taking in refugees are politically unstable. They are very poor in terms of health care, social services. They don't necessarily have rule of law, and they all suffer from sectarian tension. They are strained beyond belief by this huge influx of people. The incomers, however innocent, become tied to things like bombings, such as the recent one in Beirut, to food shortages, even to problems with the water supply. The citizens of both Beirut and Damascus in Syria, once the most cosmopolitan cities of the Middle East, now live with stress levels we probably cannot fathom, even in cultures that are called to hospitality. And now our government has promised to bring 25,000 Syrian refugees to Canada. Just exactly, we don't know yet. Just exactly how, we're not sure yet. But don't forget, we're still working on the 6,000 refugees that our former government asked the private sponsorship community, like us, to bring to Canada. However, the 25,000 come as government-sponsored or open to the private program. We know we will be asked to help, we're sure. I get a lot of phone calls every day, maybe six, maybe eight. The callers describe a refugee life that is miserable at best. They speak of extreme hardship, no health care, problems with documents. If they find a place to live, they're expected to pay a whole year's rent, not month by month. And the newcomers are desperate. They often, though not always, come with just what they can carry. If they have managed to register with the UN, and that hasn't happened for quite a while, they receive $19 a month for each person in the family. This means no school for the children. School costs $70 a month for each child. It looks as if the next generation could very well be uneducated. If they aren't registered, they're working illegally and often harassed by the police for doing so. As well, the newcomers have been traumatized. Many are ill or injured. Most of them are deathly afraid for the safety of family left behind. Many are also mourning for dead and missing relatives. And they're mourning the loss of the life they had back home. I've described for you a picture of misery, of pain, and of fear. So what do we do? Where do we see the face of Jesus? Can we take a page out of Abraham's book? Can we offer hospitality to the stranger? Well, yes, we can. We can sponsor an individual or family. Now, this means a year of work, hard work that will often be uplifting, often be re-exciting. It means marshaling resources to support the newcomers financially, physically, emotionally, educationally, and spiritually. It means welcoming them and their fellow countrymen as friends. Sponsoring usually means collecting money, rather a lot of money. It means finding volunteers. It means studying and learning about the culture, the faith, and the needs of the newcomers. Maybe going to workshops to learn these things. It means learning to be sensitive to their religious and cultural needs, all the while helping them to learn about our home, about our Charter of Rights, about protection of children, about the rule of law and due process, and helping them adapt to life here. It means respecting their dignity, honoring their choices, even if we don't agree with them. It means protecting their privacy and keeping confidential the sensitive things that we might learn from them. It means looking for the face of Jesus when we meet someone in need. It means living out our Christian call to love our neighbor and to offer hospitality to the stranger. The other day, I was sorting out papers for the Refugee Working Unit to get them ready for the United Church Archives. I came across a letter that was written to the Working Unit quite a few years ago, informing us that the United Church was no longer welcome to be part of a refugee sponsorship fair held by Lower Mainland churches. The reason given was that the United Church did not agree to sign a statement that included, "We believe that Jesus is the only way to God." At the same time, we were asked by a church that only sponsors Christian refugees, "Why don't you focus on Christians? Why don't you sponsor Christians?" We do. The answer to that, and I wish it had been my answer, but it wasn't, was, "We don't sponsor refugees because they are Christian. We sponsor refugees because we are Christian." Amen. May it be so.
Maggie.